The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Now Horford, two for two, and a steal.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Morris, three, got it! Marcus Morris, who beat the Thunder in Boston last year at the buzzer, hits a three with 27.9 to go to break the tie. And the Celtics, who have trailed most of the night, may have found their mojo in the second half tonight.
That man got ice water in his veins.
For the second consecutive year, the Celtics come from 16 down to win an OKC. And the offense, just as it mysteriously vanished, shows up just in time. The final score, Boston 101, OKC 95.
You know, we really just buckled down, and especially in that fourth, really played great defense. I think they were at 94 for a while, and then Adams hit one free throw, and like, that was that. But our defense was unbelievable to close the game.
It was like playoff Al in that second half with a Celtics 16-point comeback win over the Thunder in OKC on Thursday night. 101-95 was the final. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want to talk Celtics? Now is the time to do it. In case you don't know, every Saturday at noon, yes, it's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. I know a lot of you still want to complain about the Red Sox loss to the Dodgers in extras last night. And that's 7-hour, 20-minute marathon. We'll go back to that at 1, but for now, it's all Celtics between now and 1 o'clock. So, I don't know, do you take more positives out of this game? Because that first half, I thought that they looked absolutely terrible, Chris, coming off an ugly loss at home to Orlando, of all teams, on Monday. You can maybe make a case that they ran into a team that's actually been playing worse than they are in the Thunder, who's winless. I'm still not, like, super pessimistic about this team long term. I do think that they're the best team in the East. I expect that they will be in the finals against Golden State. But it has looked real wonky thus far.
It's been ragged.
Yeah. And there's some, you know, like guys like Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, like because of, you know, their respective injuries and what they're coming back from, I understand that there's going to be some rust there, but it still looks, at least offensively, forced at times. And some guys look like a square peg in a round hole, like Jaylen Brown. So since the last time we did the show last Saturday, some thoughts and this comeback that they had on Thunder.
Well, I mean, the comeback was great. Obviously, great third quarter and excellent defense in the fourth quarter. You know, defense to me really hasn't been a problem for them outside of the Jonathan Isaac game against the Magic. It seemed like they just, there was like no scouting report on him, or they just didn't read it. Second year in the league for him, he's sort of made a little bit of a jump there, but they should have figured that out. For me, all the issues I have with this team right now are offensive. And when I watch them play, Jim, it looks like instead of trying to discover and figure out what they can do well collectively, the way the offense is running right now is let's do what each guy does well individually and just give him a turn. Well, this, you know, we have to get Gordon Hayward a pick and roll possession, so we're going to do that. And Kyrie has to do his thing, so we're going to do that this possession. And, you know, Jason Tatum, we like his matchup, so he's going to do that. I think, you know, they're still trying to figure out the rotation and what the combinations need to be. And I've come to this conclusion at this point, you know, take the name out of it and what the accomplishments are. I think maybe, you know, Gordon Hayward should come off the bench. You could certainly make the case for Jaylen Brown, but I would say Hayward just because, and put Marcus Morris in the starting lineup, because I think what that starting five needs is somebody who's willing to just stand in the corner, space the floor, and basically be Kevin Love on the Cavaliers when Kyrie and LeBron were there, and just, hey, just stand in the corner. When one of these guys gets doubled or penetrates and the defense collapses, we're going to kick it to you and shoot it. And we all know Marcus Morris has no compunction about shooting the basketball. I just think the spacing is off. There's too much trying to make sure, you know, somebody gets a turn doing what they like to do offensively instead of playing collectively as a unit.
That's heresy, though, Chris. Gordon Hayward coming off the bench. I brought this up last night. I got to do a spot on BST on NBC Sports Boston, and Kyle Draper looked at me like I had like three heads. And I get it in terms of the name. He's your marquee free agent who only played 6 minutes last year. But look, they're not playing him back-to-backs. There's some obvious rust there. For now, for the next couple of weeks, Gordon Hayward should be on the second unit. He should be. And if for no other reason, Chris, to get Jaylen Brown right, he's your third overall pick in his third year, and it looks like there's a massive regression with this player. He's somehow like got worse.
Yeah.
And it's just that it feels like he doesn't know where to fit in the offense.
Well, he's not. So Hayward's going to get touches and is going to get opportunities to sort of dominate the ball is not the right word, but almost sort of possess it. And again, you know, the pick and roll stuff with him. So Jaylen's not going to get to do that. And when you look at the five that he's part of, he's become a better shooter. But he's a slasher guy. He's going to get to the rim. He's not the guy you want. You know, they need a guy that literally is just going to set screens and stand in the corner and shoot threes in space. Like, their spacing is off to me. There's too many guys that need the ball to be able to do anything offensively. And I think you could make a case that Hayward should be that stand in the corner three guy at this point, but that's not going to happen. And I know that. And that's why I'm saying, like, I put him on the bench so he can come off and dominate some of those possessions, have the offense run through him. And I think having this increased spacing of somebody like Marcus Morris, and again, you know, I love Marcus Morris, I do, and we know from last year that he's a guy that would like to start.
Yep.
I think he's played pretty well. Down the stretch in Toronto, he was in there sort of with that unit before Brad went to Terry Rozier for some odd reason in that game. He decided to go small, get another ball handler, change it up. So I think you got to change it up a little. I mean, it's not a coincidence that things sort of clicked there in that second half with Marcus Morris. I think he's just a better fit for that grouping of Tatum, Irving, Horford, and Brown because of what he can do and how he can space the floor.
But is that a potential problem longer term, considering, as you mentioned, that Morris looks at himself as a starter, wants to be in that starting five, was bitching about it last year? If you put him in there and you open up that can of worms, and now he's been a better player offensively, is that a bigger issue longer term for Brad Stevens in terms of personality, you know, like, and what he has to deal with?
I mean, I think, you know, potentially, yeah, it could be. And I'm not saying that this would be what you do for the rest of the year. But until you get Gordon Hayward right, until you get Jaylen Brown right, you do this. And a lot of it, too, is, you know, it's not so much about who starts, it's about who finishes the game. So if you still want to go to Hayward to finish, I think that's fine. And they went to Marcus Morris to finish the game. So you don't worry about that. I mean, this team has a ton of talent. Somebody's going to have to. That's the other thing I've noticed so far. It doesn't seem like anybody, and I don't mean this in a selfish way, I just mean this in a practical way. I don't think anybody really at this point in the year, I've seen anybody really sacrifice any parts of their game for the team. I go back to the new big three. Again, Ray Allen, you know, great player, guy that could do stuff with the ball in his hands. It was basically like, Ray, go stand in the corner. We'll kick it to you. Shoot these threes. Like, that's what happens on these teams when you have that talent. There's a Ray Allen or Kevin Love who has his game boiled down to, you know, one or two specific aspects that the team needs instead of being the overall dominant guy. And I don't see guys doing that yet. And again, I don't think it's selfishness. I just think it's a lack of practicality so far from the Celtics.
All right, we'll go to you early and often because obviously with everything else going on with the Red Sox and, you know, it's been Patriots heavy too with their win in Chicago over the Bears. You really haven't had a lot of time to talk Celtics over the past week here on the Sports Hub, so now is the time to do so. It's 617-779-0985. So if you have pent-up takes about the C's you want to get out, now's the time to do it. Jason in Nashua on Jaylen Brown. Hello, Jason.
Hey, what's up, Murray?
Hey.
I want to thank you guys. You keep me company doing chores on Saturdays, vacuuming and stuff like that, so I appreciate that. But I wanted to talk about Jaylen Brown. I don't think he's a consistent enough shooter. He wasn't drafted as a really like a high profile offensive guy, and I just don't have confidence when he shoots the ball anymore.
My biggest issues with him, you know, since he came into the league, were his handling skills, which he was loose with the ball at times, and he's been iffy at the line. If anything, he improved as a shooter last year. I liked him with those corner threes. Now he just looks lost on both ends of the floor this year. So like that's. The talent is there. You're one of the guys that believed him. You loved that pick at the time.
Yeah, I did. But the question at the time was the shooting. He shot terribly at Cal in the 1 year he was there. And the idea was that was fixable. And it seemed like it had been fixed, to be honest, last year. It hasn't been quite the same this year. He hasn't been good shooting the basketball. There's no question about it. Look, you can certainly make a case for, you know, him being the guy that goes to the bench, but the reason I say Hayward is that I think Hayward's better with the ball in his hands than Jaylen Brown is. And I think if you send Jaylen Brown to the second unit and the ball's in his hands, I think you're going to get a bunch of turnovers.
John in Boxford, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just woke up a little while ago, so crazy. Listen, I think the Celtics, I used to watch the 86 Celtics, and they had, you know, their five guys that they knew who they were. And I think it's going to take a little while to find out who these five guys are. And I just think, like, you can't play everyone, too. Like, it seems like they're trying to play everybody for the sake of playing everyone. I mean, it's just, it's not consistent to me. I mean, and plus, these guys, when I went, the 86 Celtics, these guys were playing, like, practically the whole game. And now it's like kind of like baseball, how you have like that, you know, the pitchers only go like five innings of batting pitchers. It just doesn't seem to have that consistency.
Well, you know, John, and thanks for the call.
Let's not go back to, you know, God rest his soul, Casey Jones running those guys into the ground. We don't need to go back to that.
But, you know, this was something that Charles Barkley said after the first win of the year against the 76ers. Like, maybe they have too much talent. Like, there's too many mouths to feed here. So does something have to give, especially if Jaylen Brown has regressed? You know, there's a lot of redundancy, obviously, at guard and especially at the wing. Will they end up having to move someone? Or how about, like Chris suggested when we started off the show today, Gordon Hayward coming off the bench with the second unit right now for the time being? I'm for that. What say you, the Celtic fan? 617-779-0985. I want to hear from you on this. We'll get Joe Murray's input as well. We come back here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show.
This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rebound Horford, one more chance at the Hayward for the tie. Rims out, and the ball game is over.
Wow.
A very difficult chance for Kyrie from the right corner, but when Horford got the offensive rebound, he gave Hayward a clean look from the right wing to try to tie it. But the Celtics' offensive failures, beginning, middle, and end, do them in here tonight. Final score, Orlando 93, Boston 90.
We have a lot of work to do, that's for sure. Through, what a day. How many preseason games did we play? Three? I mean, we didn't play well in the four. We didn't play well in those either, so we have a lot of work to do. I have no doubt we'll figure it out, but definitely a lot of work to do.
All right, so that's going back to earlier in the week, Monday night, when the Celtics lose at home to the Orlando Magic. And just as an aside, as someone who is a fan of the aesthetics of athletics, I hate those Magic uniforms. Always have. Even going back to the days of Ronnie Cicely and Shaq back in the 90s, the Magic, find a better graphic designer or something. Their uniforms are some of the worst in sports. I despise them, Chris.
They are bad. I just have to quickly correct. I think I accidentally killed off Casey Jones. They're still alive.
Yeah. No, I did that recently with Bob Uecker. And some of these guys are just old. You think they're past. Nope. Thankfully, Casey Jones.
86.
And Bob Uecker still alive. So Gordon Hayward, not great in that game against Orlando. It's been kind of a slow crawl for him. That ankle soreness has been lingering. He didn't play last Saturday against the Knicks as well, averaging 10 points, 5.8 rebounds, making 39.5% of his shots so far. So you had to figure it was going to be a slow go for Gordon Hayward here. And Chris said earlier, for now, he should be coming off the bench. I would agree. Joe Murray, who's alongside as well. Is that heresy to you, Joe, to have Hayward coming off the bench right now, as rusty as he's looked?
No, and actually they did it in the Thunder game. They actually had him start, something they haven't been doing coming out of halftime. So, no, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think right now some of their issues are is that Baines is out of the lineup, and they're just a better team with Al Horford at power forward. And if you watch Thursday's game, Steven Adams was just hook shot after hook shot right over Horford. So I think if you're looking for that move in the starting five, you guys mentioned Morris, but it's Baines. Baines at the starting five with Horford at power forward, that's just what's best for the team. But the more I watch it, like, they're trying to make the starting five work. I think Kyrie's somewhat of the issue. And I actually kind of miss the grinded out Celtics team, the underachievers, the Terry Rozier running it up the court. Like, I actually enjoyed watching that than them trying to figure it out. And I'm just wondering when they are going to figure it out. Like, is it going to be, Toronto's running away with it, and they're still, like, at some point, just stick Baines at center, put Horford at power forward, and maybe at sometimes you take Kyrie out and you let Rozier run the offense.
I mean, even Baines, so, you know, yes, sure, you want to go with Baines. I'm cool with that. But even Baines or Morris, because Baines shoots threes now, that's another floor spacer either way. And so that's sort of my point. I think you need, like, someone who's, like, doesn't need the basketball and can space the floor. I think that's what that unit needs, as opposed to what they have now. Because I look at it now, and it's not five guys, you know, but Horford can still handle at the high post. But it's basically Horford and, like, four guys that want to, like, dribble the basketball. And it that's not working, and it's not going to.
Steve in Medford, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Big Jim. How you doing?
Good.
Quick, let's point. Am I a bad fan if I turned the game off in the 15th inning? My heart could not handle it at that point. Like, what point do you consider yourself like you have to turn it off, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. Everyone's got a tipping point when it gets to that crazy, amount of time invested. At some point, you have to get sleep. I understand that.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. My Celtics thought, in terms of the concern of the team, they were in Kyrie just because I know how good they're going to be. The one I am concerned with is Jaylen Brown. I mean, he comes into the year fully healthy. You think he's going to, make a jump into his third year. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he's shooting like 33% from the floor or something. Like, he's been awful.
Yeah, and on that, your phone's a little wonky. If you want to try back, Steve. Yeah, no, it's not good. And it's both ends of the floor, too. So he just feels like he doesn't know what his role is supposed to be. It feels like this addition of Hayward has affected him somehow. Or I just refuse to believe that there's been that kind of a regression because he played so well last year. And it feels like this is a hangover from the fourth quarter of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers. So yeah. I just wonder, though, if this continues, if we continue to see a bigger sample size over the next few weeks, you know how Danny Ainge is, he's Trader Danny. Pew, pew, pew. If this maybe makes Jaylen somehow expendable or maybe another wing in some kind of a deal because there is a redundancy at that position.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to talk about the trade stuff. I think they have to figure out where everybody fits and what the roles are. And look, Jaylen Brown has struggled. There's no question about it. He's shooting 30.6% from the field. And it seems like Brad has a quick hook with him. He's the guy out of that starting five that is the one that Brad will pull. And I thought the other night you could see against Oklahoma City, he took him out in the fourth quarter of that game. And the body language from Jaylen Brown was dejected body language to me. It just looked like he was like, ugh. I'm coming out. Like you just sort of knew it.
Well, and you go back to last Friday and the loss to the Raptors, too. He doesn't play for the last seven and change of that fourth quarter. So this is a delicate balancing act with this player right now because he's not playing well. That's obvious. And he's a cerebral kid, too. So I do wonder if it's starting to pile up. He's not playing those crucial minutes and he's starting to feel like, hey, I suck. And you end up in that bad vortex that's tough to get out of. So difficult balancing act right now with Jaylen Brown. Just overall, how much do you put on the schedule? Because they've had some, tough sledding here. Another tough one tonight against this unbeaten Detroit team. That's actually been, looked like they've improved for the first couple of weeks.
How about that Blake Griffin 50-point games and the game winner against the 76ers? That was a heck of a game.
Yeah, and teams like the Bucks still unbeaten. Toronto, they're way better than I expected them to look earlier
season. People have slept on Toronto. I'm included in that. I think people didn't realize how important, not just Kawhi. It wasn't just swapping DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi. It was swapping DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi and Danny Green. Danny Green has been exactly what that team needs, a 3-and-D guy.
So when we talked to Sean Grandy a couple of weeks back on this show, of course, he is the play-by-play man for the Celtics here on the Sports Hub. He said, look, don't be surprised if it's kind of a rough go for them the first couple of weeks, first month of the season because of the schedule. Did we underestimate some of these teams in the East?
I think we did underestimate some of these teams in the East. I think we also underestimated, though, how long it would take for the Celtics to coalesce, for there to be some continuity and cohesion. I think we just sort of thought, and we're spoiled, right? You're spoiled by seeing what the Celtics did in 07-08. You just roll the balls out there, and it's a 66-win team. I mean, they get from the jump. And so this is a little bit of an experiment for Brad Stevens, and he has to figure out which combinations, which permutations work. And they're still trying to do that, and they haven't gotten to that point yet. There's so much offensive talent on this team, yet when I look at it, it just seems like offensively, they just grind. It feels like everything's a grind for this team.
617-779-0985. I want to hear from you, from Chris's heresy that he brought up earlier, that right now Gordon Hayward should be coming off the bench to start the game. Ah, Kevin in Hudson, New Hampshire, your thoughts on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys think about maybe Gordon Hayward, at least for the next few weeks out, coming off of the bench. And, I mean, would you guys say that, even with all the injuries last year, that with all the starters back, Brad Stevens, I mean, he has his work cut out for him this year versus last year.
Yeah,
where the challenge was filling roles. But, yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on Gordon Hayward coming off the bench. And then, yeah, just more on Jaylen Brown and what you think of his performance coming in for his third year where, he really has to show what he's worth now.
Just to quickly reset, because Kevin must have just joined the show, because he brought it up earlier. This is exactly what you said that they should be doing right now.
Yeah, just for, you know, and again, it's not permanent, but for the next few weeks, let Gordon get those possessions that run through him, and so he can get back to being Gordon Hayward. I think it works for him. I think it could create better spacing for that starting five, and maybe it gets Jaylen Brown going. He can slash a little more and sort of get fed, you know, off some of those cuts. And if you get both those guys going, then you can sort of swap things, switch it up, figure it out. I just think it would help both of them. And I think when I look at the starting lineup right now, it's just it's not working. It's not clicking to me. I feel like there's a lot of compromise there in terms of what they want to do, because everybody has to get their turn offensively to do the things that they do well. And I see an offensive unit where it's about what each guy does well individually and trying to get to that instead of trying to figure out collectively what they can do well as a unit, as a team, to be a potent offense. And I think maybe pulling Hayward out of the mix, because I think there's some pressure for him to produce. I think there's some pressure for Brad and for Kyrie Irving, if he's calling plays, to make sure that there are possessions that Gordon gets touches and they sort of run through. I mean, I've noticed it feels like there's four or five possessions and Gordon's out there, and they say, well, we have to give Gordon a pick and roll touch, pick and roll possession. Let's see what he can do. I think that's easier to do with the second unit than with the first unit.
All right, Celtics tonight in Detroit to take on the unbeaten Pistons, who've been red hot, and Chris mentioned it earlier, a 50-point game from Blake Griffin in their win over the 76ers earlier this week. Will Aaron Baines play in this game? Joe Murray is going to tell you that information here in the Sports Hub headlines. When we come back, we'll get a preview of this game and talk a little bit more Celtics with Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anytime, and you saw it on our offense, when we started missing those shots, we stopped moving the ball and we stopped trusting that the next shot will fall. You just have to do that. And it's easier said than done with guys that haven't played much together, and you know, as far as integrating the new guys, but I think that we finally look like ourselves again.
A less frustrated head coach Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics after the comeback win, 16-point comeback win over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Thursday night. 101-95 was the final. I wanted to touch on this. I don't know if you saw the story earlier this week, Chris, from Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, titled NBA Exec Already Focused on 2019 Free Agency. And it was one of these long-winded, long reads that you take to the toilet when you go on your lunch break. But the gist in terms of the Celtics and Kyrie Irving is that a lot of the execs throughout the league still aren't buying that Kyrie Irving is going to be here next year and sign long-term. And this is something that you keep trying to warn Celtics fans about. You know, just because he said it doesn't mean that he means it when he said to
I think he means it. It just doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think he means it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got a long way to go. And I don't know. Again, if this is what the offense is going to be all year, do you think maybe he changes his mind?
And, well, no, so this is the thing, is say he doesn't improve, maybe on the Celtics side of things, maybe they can look at the player and say, like, okay, you know what, long-term, giving you max money, like, I think we're good. So, you know, keep an eye on that. Like, just because he said it doesn't mean that he means it. Until the ink is dry, nothing is for sure. So, Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Want to bring in NBC Sports Celtics analyst Chris Forsberg. What up, Chris?
What's up, guys?
Not too much. Are you out in Detroit?
No, I'm back home. Oklahoma City was enough for me.
Yeah, oh no, I don't blame you there. So I want to ask you something we brought up early to start the show. If it's heresy to you, the thought of, for right now, until the rust comes off or until the offense starts looking like it did in the second half against OKC, what do you think about Gordon Hayward coming off the bench in the second unit right now, at least for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I understand the logic behind it, and I think it was good that Brad sort of didn't have the urge to put him in there in the closing minutes against OKC. I think he understood, like, look, I think he sees what we all see. Gordon's still not quite there. That being said, you know, maybe it's just because the starters haven't played well as a group. I'm hesitant to go messing with that lineup too much yet. I do think there's some idea to them getting the continuity and kind of figuring this thing out. But certainly if it lingers, if you hit a stretch where you're playing a bunch of games and there are back-to-backs in there,
I could see the idea of maybe flirting with that and, I don't know, move Smart onto the starting lineup, whatever you feel is most comfortable with. But, you know, the one thing I would worry about, too, is just mentally. Like, Gordon's going through enough right now trying to figure this all out and get out of his own head. I don't think it would be a bad thing for him to play more second unit minutes, but it might have to come in the way of taking him out early with those starters and then working him back in, because I just don't think you need to add something else to for him to think about.
Chris, when you look at that first unit, you know, the Newport Five, why isn't it working? Why isn't it clicking? You know, when I look at it just from the layman's thing, I see that it's a situation where, as I've said during this hour, it feels like instead of figuring out collectively what they can do well, it's we're just individually going to go to, here's what you do well, Jason. This is your possession. Kyrie, this is your possession. Hey, Gordon, we got to get you this pick and roll possession. We're going to do this. It just feels a little forced right now to me. What are you seeing?
Yeah. That's like the perfect word for it. Everything seems forced. No one seems like to just be letting their natural talents tank over. I go back to it. If you go back to last year and watch the last exhibition game where these guys, again, they were only four games into all this together. They didn't play a whole lot of minutes together, but it was clicking. The ball was whizzing around. Guys were making shots. You saw the potential of what this could be. I do think right now they're just overthinking everything. I think guys are sitting there looking at Gordon going, okay, we got to get him going. I think like Tatum sitting there saying, okay, when do I step up and be the superstar that I think I'm becoming? Jaylen Brown is sort of lost in all of this, and the fact that his shot isn't falling doesn't help matters either. So I agree. I think they just need to sort of get out of their own way. I thought it was interesting in that OKC game where, you know, Kyrie pulls aside Al at the end of the first half and says, hey, listen, we just got to be aggressive, because right now they're all sort of walking on eggshells. So until someone was willing to step up and sort of be aggressive and not worry about, you know, how everything's going to look and how everything's going to flow, that was when it sort of their talents took over. And Al has that little three-point barrage. I don't think we can expect that very often. But even before that, Kyrie had sort of lit the fuse on the offense. And so I think they just need to stop worrying so much about, you know, getting each other going. And, okay, you know, sometimes if you got a good look, you know, don't swing it. Just take that shot. And I know that's easier said than done when everything's sort of predicated on moving the ball and getting those great looks and wanting to look good. But I do think they just need to get back to, like, not overthinking stuff. And maybe that's on Brad to maybe dumb down some stuff and just let them be who they are.
Talking to Chris Forsberg, Celtics insider for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. So what's your overall assessment of Jaylen Brown thus far, Chris? Is it simply a mental issue? You know, is it he just doesn't, I don't know, does he feel the pressure of, you know, Gordon Hayward, and that's why he feels like a square peg in a round hole right now? Are they not running enough plays for him? Go ahead.
I think it's just a collection of everything. Maybe more than anyone, his role is the hardest to sort of define. And so, you know, you've got Tatum, who clearly is on the verge of going to that next level, and he wants to be aggressive, and he's found his spots to do that, and he's not afraid to sort of pull up in that mid-range and find his sweet spots. And it helps that he can get to the basket, and he's had those, you know, loud dunks that sort of, like, give you the confidence to fire away. You know, Jaylen's been sort of relegated to firing away from the corner, and when those shots aren't falling, you start overthinking stuff. And
yeah.
I think what Brad said it best is that if Jaylen keeps defending, and they've asked a lot of him on the defensive side, going up against a lot of the better players on opposing teams, whether that's Kawhi or whoever has been on the opposite side, as long as he defends, they're not going to worry too much about his offense. They've got too much offensive talent that, even though it's not showing right now, they're confident it will. But yeah, Jaylen is in. He's just in the. I think he has the toughest job of the current five, trying to figure out where his shots come from, how he needs to find his offense, and more than anything. And this goes for a lot of them. I just think they need to be more aggressive going at the hoop. I think a lot of guys are settling right now, and they need to just get to the line. When they're there, they need to make their free throws, which is another like head slapping thing about this team. But like, you know, I don't expect it to linger with Jaylen, but yeah, he's feeling it more than maybe some of the other guys on that first unit.
Yeah, I think you hit on it there, Forsby. I mean, the idea of sort of with that first unit, and this is why I'm saying make some changes or just experiment. I feel like that first unit could use a guy, you know, that will just sort of stand and doesn't need the ball, can stand in the corner and take those shots that right now Jaylen Brown's relegated to taking, because even though he shot the three well last year in the playoffs, that's not the strength of his game. And so if you had somebody like Marcus Morris or somebody else in that lineup who doesn't need the ball but will take those shots, I think you might end up with a little better flow for everybody. And that's where I'll be honest. I know you said you think they'll get into it. I do sort of question this combination long term and whether it makes the most sense.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, like, to me, if you put your five best players out there and you just hope that the talent takes over. But certainly, like, if it continues to scuttle, like, you just can't help but try to figure out ways to tweak it and, you know, make sure that you're getting the most out of all those pieces. You know, I guess there's no obvious solution to me. I mean, you could go back and put Baines in there and go to a bigger lineup, and that would help you defensively. But, like, defensively isn't their issue right now. I don't know if there's any clear answer. I do think it might come down to just how you start pulling guys out and how you rotate everybody. I really like when they come back with Hayward and Tatum sort of with that bench unit. I think that gives them a little bit more ability to be aggressive. Maybe it comes down to like having to put Jaylen in that sort of mix too. Maybe get him in there before you rotate Hayward back in, just to give him an opportunity to be more aggressive, to feel like he's one of like the main primary offensive weapons at that point on the floor. But certainly, like, you know, I think what the one thing that Brad has sort of maintained through all of this is that, hey, if things don't work, he won't hesitate to sort of try things and mix up the rotations. I think back to that Orlando game, as soon as he knew that no one had it going, he went 11 deep in the first quarter, played all 12 of his guys that night. Like, he's still trying to figure this out, and it's going to be a little bit of a process. Like, even in seasons past when he's had a more defined group of guys that he wanted to lean on, it took time, and Brad would experiment. I think he more than anyone needs to see it on the floor and figure out how it all works best.
Chris, the Celtics have ruled out Aaron Baines for a third straight game tonight against the Pistons. Considering the size in that front court and guys like Drummond and Blake Griffin, this is a concern for me. So I don't know, is this hamstring issue more of a thing for Baines? Is this precautionary? And does this maybe mean more minutes for Robert Williams tonight?
Yeah, it sounds super cautious. It sounds like Baines wants to be out there. I don't think he goes on this road trip if he doesn't expect to play. You know, even in Oklahoma City, they were talking about how he's racing guys off the bus to get to the practice court. And then I just think the Celtics understand it's a long season. They don't want to put anybody at risk. It's the same reason they held out Hayward last Saturday in New York. It's just, if they can avoid the potential to make these long-term injuries, they're going to do it. That said, you know, with the Detroit on the schedule now, the next two games, you do sort of wish you had some more size and experience available there. The Celtics are going to have to lean a little bit heavier on whether it's Yabusele or Tice if he goes, but even he's questionable after a left foot sprain in the last game in Oklahoma. So I don't know. I don't know if they'll dust off Robert Williams here. I feel like the same deal there. They don't want to throw him into a situation where he's overwhelmed. That being said, the Magic game, I think it was, where they threw him in there, and he didn't look overwhelmed at all. And he brings you just a little something you don't have, that sort of athleticism, that guy who, listen, he's young, he's going to want to try to block every shot when he's out there. But like, if you can add that to your front court, and even if it's in small doses, I think I'm curious to see what it looks like. And listen, if it goes bad, okay, he's headed to Maine anyway soon enough to get those reps. I'd be curious to see what he looks like going up against some top caliber front court guys, and whether, hey, maybe that can help expedite his development a little bit as well.
All right, Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston, Celtics Insider. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Take care, y'all.
All right, thanks very much, Chris, for joining us. I literally just turned off my microphone when I was trying to hang up on Chris. See, this is what happens when you stay up all night for a 7-hour and 20-minute baseball game that basically ends at 4 in the morning. And I promise, those of you who want to talk about it, we'll get to it in about 10 minutes. Sports Hub Celtic Show here, though. I want to talk a little bit more about this Pistons team that's unbeaten. I know if your eyes haven't been on it elsewhere in the league, there has been some wacky stuff going on, like the Pistons being unbeaten. The Bucks look like a real threat in the East.
Oh, Giannis is unbelievable.
You have this whole blow up earlier this week with Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul. I want to touch on that and a potential trade between the Houston Rockets and the Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler. If you haven't heard this yet, what Houston's willing to give for the player, I think, is way, way too much. We'll touch on all this as we wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show next in our long commercial-free segment here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Bounce top side to Blake Griffin. Turns, drives, lays it up. Lays it in. And he is fouled.
situation. 1.8. Late's got 49. He's going to go to the line with the chance to get the Pistons a 1-point lead here. And a 50-point night.
1.8 to go in overtime. The free throw goes! Pistons up one!
All right, what's next for the Celtics? Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the Detroit Pistons tonight in Detroit.
Detroit basketball.
Isn't that what the guy does there? Their PA guy that's been there for a million years. Either way, if you haven't been paying attention, Pistons, they're 4-0 under their new head coach, Dwayne Casey. That was sound of their overtime win over the Philadelphia 76ers earlier this week, where Blake Griffin scored 50. Yes, count them, 50 points. Between him and Andre Drummond, they've been monsters on the glass. They're averaging 14.3 offensive rebounds a game. Griffin averaging 33.8 points per game. Drummond pulling down 17.8 boards a night. So, not great that Aaron Baines has been ruled out of this game this evening. We were just talking with Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston in the prior segment. Maybe this means Robert Williams gets in, but that's maybe a tough ask to put him against, to get major minutes against these monsters. But I don't know. This was one prior to the season, Chris, that I was like, bah, I don't know, that'll be an easy one for the Celtics. Now looking at it, not so much.
No.
They've been one of the surprise teams.
They really have been one of the surprise teams. There's no question about it. Now, look, do I think this will ultimately last? I don't, because I don't think they have enough outside shooting. But Blake Griffin is playing out of his mind, as you mentioned there. And they have been one of those surprise teams so far this year. And this is why they made this deal. You know, this is why the Pistons made this trade for Blake Griffin, to try and shake things up, to try and get a franchise guy in there and see what they can do with Griffin and Andre Drummond. So they've been, they're sort of through this point in the year, and it's so early that it's even ridiculous to say through this point in the year, but this is what we're doing. This is what we do for a living. We talk about this stuff. At this point in the season, they're this year's Indiana.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, the team that kind of nobody, saw coming or you slept on, but there's real talent there. And, the reigning coach of the year in Dwayne Casey, who got fired from Toronto. So you got a tip-off at 7 o'clock, Detroit Celtics. You can catch that on our sister station, 105.7. With the pregame starting at 6:30, Sean Grandy, Cedric Max will have the call. Quickly, some of the other stuff going on throughout the league this week. The Houston Rockets reportedly are willing to offer four first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler. If Minnesota actually has this on the table, they're fools if they don't do this. That's way too much of an overpay for Jimmy Butler, who I think is not only overrated, good player, not great, but just considering his age, I would do that tonight if I'm.
I guess the question is, how long is the window for Houston, and what would those picks be?
We're not talking about top five picks or anything like that. So I understand, and you always say this: anything outside of the lottery are mostly useless in terms of first round picks.
It's not like the NFL, as I always say. Sheer volume of picks isn't necessarily going to get it done for you. It's about getting picks that are inside the top five. Just look at the Celtics and the trade they made with Brooklyn. A big part of that was being able to get the picks that they ended up getting. They had the number one pick. They parlay that into Tatum. The third pick is Jaylen Brown. So, when you're looking at that, if you're in Minnesota, it sounds good on paper. And if it were the NFL, you'd say, this is a Herschel Walker trade. But you have to sort of figure it out. If you're in Minnesota, if you're Tom Thibodeau and you're Scott Layden there, you have to say, okay, well, what do we think Houston's window is? How long is Chris Paul going to, play there and be good? How long is James Harden going to be at this level? Because four first-round picks, and you're spacing it out, quite a ways, because you have the rule there? Is it the Sapien rule? You can't trade your first-round pick in back-to-back years?
Yeah.
You can do a pick swap to get around that, but you can't outright trade the pick. So, I need to see, what are they offering? Is it four first-round picks? And that would mean you'd get one every other year until, whatever, over 8 years? Or is it like the Nets with the pick swap thing built in?
And then we have the...
Because then you're giving up your pick. I mean, it's a swap, but then it's like, well, what if the Rockets are still good and you stink? Like, the swap is useless.
It just feels like nothing's going to get fixed there between Butler and Minnesota. So I just feel like if you can get that, know on its surface it looks better than it actually is.
Also, Daryl Morey has a history of ripping teams off for their superstars. Just ask OKC. you know, what happened when, you know, and Harden wasn't a star at that point, but you got to be a little wary of Daryl Morey throwing the volume trade at you, because that's what he did to Sam Presti in OKC for Harden, and that didn't really work out.
And
OKC.
Quickly, did you pick a side in the Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo beef from earlier this
yes,
week?
Yes, Chris Paul.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just say you're just out on Rondo, think he's too much of a punk?
I just hear, you know, Rondo's thing with Paul has always been sort of like, you know, I'm on your level. I'm the only one of these point guards of our generation who's won a championship. And it's like, yeah, you did, but you were, you know, an ancillary piece. Like, you know, Chris Paul's always been on teams where he has to carry it. I think that's one where, you know, Rondo sort of has to step off.
I'm giving him the stink eye because it was Chris Paul that was pointing in Rondo's face, and Rondo's the one who took a swing. So I don't know. In that scenario, like, you don't point in Rondo's face and not expect a punch.
Rondo has, look, the rivalry is great between those two guys, but Rondo has antagonized Chris Paul for a while. He has.
He's in his head.
And to the credit of Rondo, he gets under Chris Paul's skin. He really does. But I just think, you know, you're asking me whose side I'm on ultimately in the Chris Paul-Rondo sort of, you know, rivalry. It's Chris Paul because he's a better player.
I just like that there's legitimate beef in this
league.
Oh,
that's legit. Yeah.
And that, you know, this, the Real Housewives drama in the NBA continues. That's one of the great things about, you know, following that league. I mean, that game was on, obviously, and you know, prime time late. And you catch that, it's like, oh, we get a real beef here. This was fantastic. So
we should do a segment where we make Celtics fans, you know, choose between Rondo, IT, and Terry Rozier.
You still have your Rondo outliers.
You can only have one.
People are still hanging on to that guy like it's 10 years ago. Okay, that's going to wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show for now. Let's bitch about the Red Sox and Game 3 last night, which feels like it was a blown opportunity. A blown opportunity that took basically almost 8 hours. So we'll talk about the marathon that was the 3-2 loss to the Dodgers in Game 3 right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Joe Murray. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.